All righty. Good morning, and trust you're doing well. We've had a great start to the conference, and we are looking forward to this session. They assign this session to all those who can talk fast. So no matter what happens in the service, we can get it in. And I'm excited to be with you on this topic of our adult Bible fellowships, adult Sunday school, small groups, whatever it is that you call yours. But the Sunday school is the church organized to fulfill the mission and the purpose of the church. And so at Lancaster Baptist Church, everything we do happens through our adult Sunday school ministry. It's the structure by which we can mobilize a church family to execute the mission of the church and accomplishing the Great Commission and so on. And so it is something we are incredibly passionate about. It's something that we're striving to do with excellence as unto the Lord and to get better each and every day. And we share a passion for it and a gratitude that we share that passion with you. And we're thankful that you came to this conference, that you're availing yourself to this time of encouragement. And we trust that this session will be that to you today along the lines of how to structure and build an adult Bible fellowship or an adult Bible class. And I want to talk about kind of preface a little bit of where we're going in this session. If you have been to the conference before and heard sessions on adult class or adult ministries that we've taught, you can go online and take advantage of those. This is going to be a very basic view of just what it is we do, how it is structured, how we operate, how we execute, and so on. And if you've never heard kind of our philosophy, then I think it'll all be a blessing. Some of it might be a little bit of a review, but I think as you come to a moment like this where 30 years of ministry and our theme is continue, we're continuing to do what we've always done, and here's what we do. So that's kind of the heart of this session, but I hope and pray that it'll be a blessing. And I want to thank you for having a heart for a ministry like this. We live in a ministerial culture that is telling us we need less and less of church, and we don't need to tax people, we don't need to ask too much, we don't need to push too hard, because we're just doing such a good job with what we're already doing. And I'm grateful that you share a passion like we do, that we need so much the more as you see the day approaching. And we don't need less, and we need to do what we do with a passion as unto the Lord Jesus Christ and do it well. And I'm grateful that you have a passion for that. We do, and we want to be a blessing to you, and we'd love to learn from you as well. So we have, I believe, about 30 minutes, and then we're going to get you to some lunch, so we're going to dive right in. I'm going to do my best to teach this as fast as I can. We'll try to have a time for question and answer afterwards, and then I'll stay as long as anybody wants to stay, and if we can be a blessing to you. Our heart here at Lancaster Baptist Church is not that we have all the answers and you got to do it like us. We're learning like you every single day, and we just want to share some things with you that we're doing. We want to share with you some mistakes we've made along the way and try to help you prevent from making some, and if we can be a blessing and encouragement to you, that's our heart. We want these days to be a time of encouragement and equipping to you and your ministry that you may bear fruit and fruit that remains. So, how to structure an adult Bible class for continued growth. You've got the handout. Let's dive right in. Number one, you must determine the target for your class. Determine the target for your class. Now, here at Lancaster Baptist Church, we have what we call life stage classes. That's how we have structured our classes, and that would delve into the age of the individual. It would delve into the relational status of the individual. Are they married? Are they single? Are they young? Are they middle-aged? Are they whatever group it is beyond that, and what they're comfortable being called. But we have a life stage format. I should have asked. Does anybody not have the handout this morning and needs one? And right here, anybody else that we can do that for? And Autumn right here, a couple as well. Thank you. And Autumn back here works with me in adult ministries. Becca does as well. And they're a phenomenal team. And so they could probably answer most of these questions better than I could. But anyway, determine the target for your class. Know who it is and whom you're trying to reach. Now, the church as a whole, we are trying to reach everybody. We're knocking on every door. We're inviting everybody to come. All should be saved. And so the church is trying to reach everybody. But then when you think about a class in our context, in our DNA, and the way that we do it by life stage. And so I teach a young couples class. My wife and I have four children. And it's very easy for a teacher to attract who they are. And so it's very easy for my wife and I to minister to young couples, couples that are raising kids, and that's who our class is, and it's the DNA of what it is that we do. And what helps with that is when somebody comes to church or to your class or on your property for the very first time, there's all kinds of roadblocks and obstacles in their mind that they're trying to get over. And when they can come to a room and look around the room and say, hey, everybody in here is like me. They all look like they're about the same life stage. They're all going through the same things. And as they're talking with them at the coffee station or whatever, and they're finding out that they all have a lot of similarities in common, it helps tremendously in connecting people to the local New Testament church. So we have a life stage structure here by age, by a relational status, and that's how we determine the target for the class. It helps with connection and relatability as it pertains to the class members. Then secondly, we would encourage you to develop an identity and spirit for your class. Develop an identity and a spirit for your class, or branding, if you will. Now, first of all, the Lord's business is the greatest business in all the world, and it should be treated that way. We heard it again last night and this morning that quality attracts, and you just want to make sure that everything you do, you're doing with excellence. Now, the peak of what all of us can do may be different, but all of us should be doing our best. And we want to make sure that that's what we're doing in our classes and in our ministries and in our churches. And as we think of that, then as we think of our adult classes, we want them to have an identity. We want them to have a spirit and a branding and something that people can understand, something that people can articulate, something that people can get excited about is what we want the people to have. In our ministry, all of our adult classes have a name. And so, actually, when I first came here, the name of the class that I took was the Young Couples class, and as soon as I could, I changed that. So we don't have classes like just the Young Couples class or the Median class or the Senior Saint class. We give them a name. I teach the His Design class, and I teach the His Design class because Brother First already had the Home Builders class when I came, so I had taught that before. So, but I teach the His Design class, and our motto is we want to emulate God's image of the home in our homes, and we want to be according to His design. And so all of our classes have a name and an identity. And a few thoughts there, letter A, design or develop a class logo. And if you're like me and that's not your strong suit, it's certainly not mine, but in the day and age in which we live, it's not hard to get connected to somebody who is good at that. And they may not be a Christian. You might get to win them through the process. I don't know. But get connected with somebody who's good at this. In our technological advanced society today, you can get some help in this area for very reasonable rate and get something that looks sharp. So get a class logo. Letter B, utilize a class sign. Class signage is important. Doesn't matter how many classes you have or the structure, size, or layout of your campus. You have to have signage. When somebody comes on your property, how do they find you? How do they find your class? How do they find your classes? If you oversee all the classes, as I do here, how are they finding those? Is there a guide that you're giving them? Is there a campus map that you're providing? Is there signage outside of the doors? We oftentimes do not process well thinking through what does this look like for somebody for the first time. We know somebody here at Lancaster Baptist Church, the first time is immensely overwhelming. You just feel like it's going to take me an hour to get the kids to class. You know, I'm walking from Modular A to Student Life Center to the ball field or whatever. You know, it just feels like I've taken a marathon to even get that done. So we understand our dynamic right now, and you pray for us. We're going to build a children's building next. But we've got some things we're working through, and we know that dynamic. And so signage is so very important and something you want to utilize. Letter C, then print a class bulletin and a lesson outline. And this may fit differently in every context. You may have something more digital or depending on the setting and so on. But have something for your class. You say, Brother Rule, if we had a class bulletin, there wouldn't be anything to put in it. That's the problem. We want to make sure that we have something going on. We have something to tell people about. We've got a program. We've got things we want them to be involved in. We've got things we want them to do. My goodness, after last night and this morning, we had at least put the soul winning times in there and encouraged the class to come be a part of that. That would be a start for the bulletin. And then so on and so forth. And all of our Adult Bible Fellowship bulletins, they have the soul winning times. We assign a section of our valley to each class. So on my bulletin is the layout of the area we are assigned. There's the streets. We're praying for them. We're meeting. We're going and knocking those doors and so on. And you want to have something like that along the way. Maybe a lesson outline to encourage them to follow along as you teach is a good idea. In a ministry like ours, they get an outline for everything, so it may not be that special, but it's a good tool anyway. Letter D, create a positive atmosphere in the classroom. Create a positive atmosphere. The classroom ought to be clean. I was texting my team this morning from the front row and said, man, go make sure Rebels 207 looks good. Why? Well, there's going to be a lot of sessions in here. There's a lot going on. But the first session was our session. We want to look sharp. Make sure the classroom is clean. Make sure the environment is right. And again, I understand you use the classroom for a short time, and you may share with a school class, or you may have some other dynamics that make that a challenge. But do what you can to make it look sharp. Create an environment that you're proud of, and offering a decor and so on. And just make it a place that you would want to go. A lot of people like to go to Starbucks. Have you ever just gone to Starbucks and looked around and said, why do people like to come here? What is it about it that just invites people to come and hang out a while? And how can we create some of those things in some of our environments as well? And just trying to do that is honorable unto the Lord. Letter E, then provide refreshments. People do not come to hear me teach, but they come for the donuts. So provide refreshments. And I tell people every Saturday of my life, man, come tomorrow morning. We got Starbucks coffee. We got donuts. You got to be there. And it's a nice little tool, and it's a good fellowship time. So provide some refreshments. Letter F, distribute class cards to your members. And I think back on the resource tables by both exit doors here, we have a sampling of resources, and one of them is a class card. This is my class card, so it has our HD logo on the front, and it talks about how we're a couples class. We meet Sundays at 10 a.m. in the North Auditorium, and then on the back, a picture of my wife and I. Always tell people, that's my better half right there. So, and then it has my personal cell phone number on it, and to this day, that's still how I do it. We may change it at some point in time, but and then I have my email address, and I give that to everybody. If you'll stand still for 5 seconds, I'm going to give you my card and talk about it. You need to come to his design and be a part of what God's doing. So I carry these with me all the time, and we give them to our class. And on the donut table is the cards. And I tell them, you can't always take the donuts and not take the cards. So you've got to be conscious of who are you connecting with during the week and inviting them and so on. And that's just a good little tool to use as you're developing a spirit of the class. Brother Curl and I were talking between the services, and sometimes in some classes a spirit gets developed of the us for no more mentality. And this is our class, and this is my seat, and that's my donut, and this is our group, and this is my comfort level, and this is what we like to have. I don't know anything that could be more anti-biblical. This is not an us for no more club. This is a group of servants and soldiers supposed to go out in the highways and hedges and compel people to come in. Your class ought to be the place on your church campus that first-time guests want to come, because the experience is just electric. It's what people want to be a part of. And that's the culture you want to create in your class. Thirdly, devote yourself to meeting the needs of your class members. And I know there's a lot of blanks, and I apologize for that. We were supposed to have 60 minutes for this, so we'll keep talking fast. Devoting yourself to meeting the needs of your class members. Now, how can we do this as leaders, both men and women of classes here this morning? First of all, letter A, love your class. What a phenomenal message we just heard from Dr. Getch. What a thought. Stay on the porch of compassion. I don't know about you. God brought some names to my mind. People I know that are not saved. I tell you, we had an amazing service last night, but one of the greatest blessings for me was right before church, I saw Jesse and Ashley Baldwin. And Ashley's a brand new member. Her husband's not saved. And she just finished our Starting Point class, and I had the privilege to lead her daughter to the Lord, and her two daughters got baptized on that baptism Sunday in the pool that Pastor was teasing us about, and God's really working on that family. But I've been praying for Jesse to get saved, and I saw him in the lobby last night, and I was a little shocked he was here. And he said, Brother Roel, good to see you. He said, I know you've been reaching out to me, and I haven't been dodging. I've just been working a lot. I said, man, that's all right. I'm just glad you're here. I hope we can get together. And Dr. Getz preached that message this morning, and I thought, I've got to get with Jesse this week, and I want to see Jesse get saved. And we want to have a love for our class, a compassion. Our class needs to know we love them. We're not going to love people with a guard up not to be inconvenienced. Pastor doesn't even know this is going on because I didn't want to burden him. But with all this going on with Chandler and his family and so on, Saturday night my wife and I got a call from Hugo and Shantae Ramirez in our class. And their son, Sean, 13 years of age, was on his skateboard and at a park and just skateboarding and going down a hill and lost his footing and landed on his head. And he was rushed to USC Medical Center and underwent 7 hours of brain surgery Saturday night and literally fighting for his life. At this moment, he's in the ICU at USC Medical Center. And we're not sure sure what's going to happen or what effects will be there and so on. But my wife and I have been down to the hospital several times already this week, just in that waiting room praying with that family and telling them we love them and going by Sean's bedside and just saying, Sean, this is Brother Rule. Man, I just want you to know I'm here and I love you and I'm praying for you, buddy. And I got gowned up to go in and then took it off and pray with the family and so on. And one of my team members was driving me on Sunday afternoon and he brought me back and he said, Brother Rule, I understand now how moments like this can connect you with families for life. And that's exactly right. When they see you love them, when you're willing to do that. So love your class. Letter B. Be available to your class. Be available to your class. Have an open heart and an open home and an open copy of God's word. Be available to your class. I don't know the structure of your church and maybe your own schedule. Maybe your class is just one of 500 things you're doing. I don't know. But do your best to be available to class. Get there early. Stay late. Shake hands. Talk to people. Don't be in a rush. Be around people. Meet needs. People need to know you care, and you can prove it by being available to them. Letter C, meeting the needs of your class. Boy, you've got to meet the needs of the members in your class. Now, how do you do this? And there's a lot of banks, and I apologize. We're going to run through it. Number one, they need acceptance, the need for acceptance. You have to convince those in your class you accept them. Now, you may accept them on the premise of you see where they could be. I think of Derek and Siobhan in my class right now. I had the privilege to lead them to the Lord, and they're going to get married on July 9th, which means right now they're living together. Now, I promise you, if you ask Derek and Siobhan what Brother Earl thinks of them, they will tell you, I love them. Now, I do not love what they are doing, but they started doing that before they knew the Lord. And they've come, and now they know the Lord. And we had that awkward conversation in their living room that I've had with more couples than I can count now. And they hung their head and they said, we know, we kind of thought we should be doing that. And they all say that, by the way. And then I always ask them, well, when do you want to do it? And they always tell me, like, 3 years from now, yeah. You know. And then I always remind them of that biblical principle, you know, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And we kind of talk about, do you really want to go 3 more years and to live under God's curse, or would you rather be blessed, and so on. And we went through all of that with them. And on July 9th on Saturday, I'll have the privilege of marrying that couple, and I'll see them baptized on July the 10th, and they'll continue to grow in grace, and I'm so thankful for that. But people have got to know they're accepted, that you love them, that you are willing to accept them right where they are on the premise of you know where they could go with God's help. Number two, the need for accountability. Our class members need accountability. If somebody misses his design, they're going to get a letter from me. If they miss 2 weeks, they're going to get a postcard and I'm going to call them. If they miss 3 weeks, I'm going to show up at their house. And that's just how it's going to be. Why? Because that's my job. That's my responsibility. God has given these people to me to minister to, and I want to steward it well as unto the Lord. And there's a need for accountability. If my soul winning partner can't make it, then I want to encourage him. Let's be there next week. And you say, well, my goodness, this kind of sounds a little militant. Listen, the Bible says that we are to provoke one another to love and good works. I don't know about your ministry context. Most of the people in my class that I'm encouraging go to church faithfully and go soul winning and do those things, I'm the only one in their life encouraging them to do that. They got a whole bunch of people encouraging them. Don't go to church. You go too much. Don't give. You got other things to do. Your son needs soccer. Your wife needs this. You guys need this. I've got everybody telling them they don't need the things of the Lord. I'm not going to shy away from trying to be an encouragement in their life. And by the way, when you've established the fact that you love them and you accept them, you have a platform of influence and entrance into the life for that accountability. Then thirdly, there's a need for activities, fellowship. And I encourage you, as you lead a class of couples or men or ladies or teens, whatever the context may be, to have activity time, to have fellowship time. I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes going into an activity, it can feel in the flesh like just one more thing. And then I'll leave the activity and say to my wife, boy, wasn't that awesome? I'm so glad we did that. Wasn't that great? My wife and I are discipling a couple right now, Marlon and Jeanette Martinez, and we had a big family barbecue a few weeks ago, and Brother Miguel back here helped put the activity together, and many men in our class did, and it was a blessing. But we were discipling that couple then the next Wednesday night, and they said, you know, Brother Rule, we kind of didn't know if we should go to the activity. They're brand new. We hadn't been in an activity yet. We're kind of more private people. And they said, but we came, and we got to know some people we didn't know, and now class just feels more like home. And it was just the Lord reminding me, that's why you do those, and you got to keep doing them. Class activities are so important. Now, how do you know the needs of your class? My goodness, they've all got needs, but how do we know them quickly? Number one, through spending time with them. You're not going to know the needs of your class members if you're not around them. I love what Pastor said this morning. The shepherd smells like sheep. We got to be around the people. Secondly, through asking questions. We've got to talk more than about the Warriors and the Cavs. We've got to talk about more stuff at the coffee station before Bible class than what sale we found this week. We've got to get down to stuff that matters for an eternity. How are people doing? How's their spiritual nature? How's their relationship going? How are they doing personally? We've got to know that, and we've got to ask thought-provoking questions. Thirdly, through observation. My goodness, that couple used to sit in the front. Now they're sitting in the back. They used to come every Sunday. Now they miss. They used to go soul-winning. Now they don't. They used to smile. Now they frown. That stuff leaders have got to see. And by the way, we want to ask God, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me discernment. Help me to see that in the infancy stages so that I can deal with it and help them and get victory over it. I've got to make sure that I'm observing. Number next, through prayer. Through prayer. One of the things my wife and I committed years ago was that we are going to pray through our class roster by name at least once a week. And that's a discipline we have to this day. And we just want to pray for these people. We want to pray for them by name. We want to lift them up before the Lord and know their needs. So through prayer. And then through the Holy Spirit's prompting. The Holy Spirit's going to give you insight and guidance, too. You need to reach out to this person. And I always have a cue card or a note card in my Bible and services, and I'm always writing names down, and I need to write them, or I need to encourage them. And I saw some people from our class serving today and already made a note. Man, I'm going to write them a thank you note. Thank them for doing that. You just want to ask the Lord and His Spirit to guide you through it. So devote yourself to meeting their needs. Number four, discipline your procedures to include weekly enrollment. Let me do my best to explain this as fast as I can, how it works here at Lancaster Baptist Church. First of all, letter A, let me give you the philosophy of enrollment, our philosophy of enrollment. And suffice it to say that class enrollment here at Lancaster Baptist Church does not equate to church membership. So we operate under philosophy of V to E to M, which means visitor to enrolled, class attender, then to church member. So when somebody visits my class, and let me not get ahead of myself here, letter B, the candidates for enrollment, who are they? They're every single visitor, all right? So when somebody visits my class, they are now a candidate to be on our roll. And you could listen to lessons from previous years because I don't have time to develop all this. But here's just another quick tidbit. If a guy has a roll of 50 and a guy has a roll of 150, who's more likely to have more people on Sunday? The guy with a roll of 150. So the teacher who's trying to develop a growing class is trying to develop their roll. You're trying to get people on their roll. You say, well, what is that? It's a very simple thing. It's asking somebody for permission to minister to them. That's it. When anybody ever visits my class, I go to their home in the next 6 days. I sit down on their couch with them, and I get to know them. I witness to them. I do a lot of things in that visit. But one of the things I do in that visit is I say, we're so thankful that you came. I was in Omar and Brenda's home on Saturday. They just visited our class last Sunday in Palmdale. And I said, Omar and Brenda, they're not married either, by the way, so you pray for them. But I was sitting down with Omar and Brenda. And I said, we're so glad that you came. We appreciate you making the effort to do that. And, you know, our class would love to pray for you. We'd love to minister to you. We'd love to be here for you. We'd love to let you know about things that are coming up. And I just wanted to know, would you like to be a member of our class and just let us minister to you in that way? And they always usually say, sure, we'd like to do that. Great. We'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow. And I put them on the roll. And now they're an enrolled member of His design. They're not a member of the church. That couple is certainly not. They're still living together. But they're a member of my class, which means I have permission from them to minister to them, to pray for them, to encourage them, to invite them, to let them know when I miss them, and so on. And so visitor to enrollment and then to member. Now, letter C, let me give you the process of enrollment. And we got to fly. Number one, you need to designate a class secretary. The most important position in my His Design class is the person responsible with the connection cards to identify the first-time visitors, give them the card, have them fill it out, and get it back. I want the kind of person who's willing to chase them down in the parking lot to their car to get that card back. That's the kind of class secretary I want. And by the way, that's the one we have, and she's a godsend. It's unbelievable. But that position is critical. You've got to have somebody who has some decent people skills and isn't going to, you know, run people off and then can get that information and get it back from them. But you've got to have somebody helping them. And by the way, you may do that for a while or your spouse or whatever the case may be, but you've got to have somebody That's their responsibility to get this information. So you need a class secretary. Number two, you've got to distribute connection cards. We have samples of those on the back tables. They're a visitor card that we use in our classes. And then thirdly, you've got to personally visit and enroll these people. I've already explained that. I call, I set an appointment, I go to their home, and I ask them if we can minister to them. And that's how that process works. Number five, designate servant leaders within your class. Designate servant leaders in your class. I'm going to miss some of these handouts, and ladies, you wave at me. But I talked about the what I do 1 week, 2 week, 3 week. That comes off what we call a weekly snapshot. There's a sample of that in the back, and I give that to every teacher we have so that we are providing that accountability. Number five, designate servant leaders within your class. Now listen, none of us in this room are interested in being a part of something that we can do alone. I have no interest in that whatsoever. If the rest of my ministerial life is going to be summed up in what I can do alone, that's going to be one miserable life. I have no interest in that. Now, I would love to see what God could do through me and a team. And that's my job as a class leader. I am to be discerning potential leaders, developing these potential leaders, and deploying them into leadership, both within the class and out of the class, to go lead classes and start classes and those types of things. That's part of our role. And so we've got to designate some servant leaders in the class. We've got to enlist and delegate some help. By the way, none of these are paid positions. God has abundantly blessed our class, but it's not a bunch of paid people. It's a lot of volunteers that love God and serve the Lord. So who are some leaders you can enlist? Letter A, your hospitality leaders. These are those that oversee your refreshments. Tobin and Natalie O'Connor do this for me, and they do an amazing job. I mean, Tobin is as passionate about hot coffee as I am the Bible lesson on Sunday morning, and that's the kind of guy you need right there, and getting the donuts and getting the coffee and getting all that kind of good stuff. Letter B, care group leaders. We have a care group system and structure in our adult Bible fellowships here at Lancaster Baptist Church. I've taught a whole lesson on it in the past. You can listen to it online. We'll not take a lot of time here, but what it does is it takes our larger classes and divides them into care groups. There's a care group leader that would be responsible for providing care to 5 to 7 adults or 5 to 7 couples. In our class, we have about 15 or 16 care group leaders. They are couples that are ministering to about 7 couples each, and they're helping to provide care and accountability and so on. So some care group leaders that can help with that. Letter C, discipleship leaders. In our ministry, we'll talk about it at 2:30 this afternoon, we have our continued discipleship program. People within the class are discipling other people in the class. If somebody comes to us and says, I want to go through discipleship, we say to them, what class are you in? I'm not in a class. Well, let's help you find a class, because you can't go through discipleship until you're in a class, because everything runs through the classes at Lancaster Baptist Church. Now, once you're in a class, then we can find out who from that class is available to disciple you. Now we can send you through discipleship. That's the way it works here. So in every class, we have to have disciplers. Letter D, a class secretary. I've talked about that already, a critical position that you have to have. Letter E, activity coordinators. Now, some of you in here are divinely gifted in creativity, and then some of you are like me. You know, my activity would be, let's come in here and paint the room or something. I don't know. I mean, that's not my gift. It's not my lane. It's not what my wheelhouse, if you will. But I've got some incredibly creative people in my class. And so Suzanne and I invited some of them to a meeting, and we planned some activities. And now God has so blessed us that I have people not only who have creatively come up with great activities, they'll run them. So our last class barbecue, here was my job. I showed up. I stood up at the appointed time and said, welcome, and prayed. I went and played kickball with some families for about 30 minutes. I went back and helped serve some hamburgers and fellowship with a bunch of people, and I went home. I didn't shop. I didn't cook. I didn't plan. I didn't create. I didn't do any of that. And I used to do all that, but I don't do any of that now, because there's people who can do it far better than I can who want to do it, and we've enlisted their help. Number six, decide to be faithful to the meetings. What kind of meetings? First of all, letter A, the weekly soul-winning meetings. You say, our church doesn't have one. You could have one for your class. A time to get together for outreach. Letter B, the monthly meetings with your adult Bible fellowship leaders. Now, again, your context, you may do it differently. Some of you in here, you oversee all your classes. What we would encourage you is to have a once-a-month meeting. That's what we do here on the third night of every Sunday. At 4 p.m. in West Wing 201, I meet with all of our teachers, and Miss Autumn back there helps me with that, and we meet with them, we love them, we encourage them, we train them, we talk about what's coming up, and how can we be in unity and sync with where we're going as a church, and those are so very important. Letter C, having periodic meetings with your class leaders. Twice a year, I meet with our class leadership team, my care group leaders, my disciplers, my all the people I've just described to you. Why? So that I can love them and invest in them and train them and work through some of those things. And those are important. Number seven, design your class schedule for growth. Design your class schedule for growth. What is that? What would that entail? Letter A, first of all, have evangelistic music. You may not have time for music. We have very little time for music, but what time we have, we want to do it well. Letter B, enthusiastic announcements. Announcement giving can be the death to any service. Refuse to let that be the case. Find the most energetic guy in your class that can read and ask him to do it. I mean, just keep it alive, or lady, if that's the context of your class. But enthusiastic announcement. Then let her see a quality Bible lesson. A quality Bible lesson. That's what keeps them and it connects them long term. Teaching God's word to the best of our ability. A few thoughts on that, and I'm sorry for the plethora here of information, so little time. Number one, study your lesson throughout the week. We don't want to give them Sunday morning, Saturday night special. We want all week to be in God's word and to know right where we're going. We want to over-prepare and teach from the overflow. We never want to stand behind the lectern of God's word trying to put something together or last minute this or that. It should all be ready as unto the Lord. Everything with excellence is unto the Lord. So throughout the week, number two, support your main points with cross-references. Lots of scripture. God's word will not return void. Number three, define Bible words. Again, I don't know your ministry context. The couple I told you that we're discipling that we started about 2 or 3 months ago, the first lesson was teaching them that the first number after the book of the Bible is the chapter, and the number after the colon is the verse. And this is how you find it. That's where we started. They were as biblically literate as you can get. By the way, I love that. I love discipleship. Discipleship does so much more for me than it does the people I disciple. I go in there sometimes dragging on a Wednesday night, and I come out in cloud nine. I mean, I just love it. I love being around new people that want to grow. And but we've got to teach them Bible words at times. Number four, move from the literal context to the personal application. Move from the literal context of the passage to the personal application. Listen, you and I may be able to exegete a passage of Scripture, but we got to think through the attendee's perspective. How does this affect their life at work on Tuesday? We've got to help make that connection. If the people who attend our class think the Word of God is boring, that's on us. If they think it's irrelevant, that's on us. If they think it doesn't apply to their life today, that's on us. It is our job to take the truth of the Word of God and apply it to their life. Help them come up with a practical application. Number five, avoid excessive references to your own life experiences. I probably violated that already in this session, and I apologize. But don't refer to yourself too much. And by the way, don't always refer to yourself with, man, last year I saw 1,000 saved, and my wife and I haven't argued in 25 years, and my kids are angels, and whatever. I mean, every now and then, just be real. I think one of the things my class loves the most about the teaching is it's real. Roy Goss, who you'll meet tonight in the video, gave testimony and said, man, the first time I heard Brother Gabe stand up and tell us that he was a sinner and he wasn't a perfect husband and his kids weren't perfect and he wasn't perfect, I sat there and thought, I've never heard a pastor say that before. Dr. Goetsch taught me people can much more readily identify with your failures than your successes. So be real. Be real. Number six, use biblical illustrations. What powerful illustrations Dr. Goetsch just used. So what a great thing. Number eight, and I know we're flying. Direct your class to support the pastor and the church program. Direct your class to support the pastor and the church program. Letter A, direct them to love the pastor. Letter B, direct them to be loyal to the overall church program. Our church blessed Pastor Mrs. Chapel Sunday night for 30 years of ministry, and we should. They're well deserving of it. But you know where that happened? In the Adult Bible Fellowships. 50 adult Bible class leaders standing up three Sunday mornings in a row telling the church family, we need to honor God's man. And every one of them in unity in doing it. And the Lord allowed us to do something very, very special. We need to direct them to do that. We are not here to develop a following. We are here in the place of our pastor to accomplish his work. Listen, I grew up in a pastor's home. I've had the privilege of serving a pastor my entire life. Being second takes a special gift mix to do it for a long time with a good spirit. And one of them is this principle right here, directing them to love and be loyal to somebody else but you. And I want to tell you, every time I struggle with this, you know what my problem is? My pride. That's it. That's the only answer I can find for it. And it's the one I got to work on every day. It's my pride. So make sure you're directed in the right place. Number 9, delight in the work of visitation. This, my friend, could be a session. And I'm sorry I don't have time, but if you want to grow, this is where you got to invest some time right here. Delight in the work of visitation. Letter A, visit in person. Get out, visit people. Visit every visitor every week. If somebody visits His Design, I'm not going to go 6 days without being in their home. I'll go as many times as I have to. I want to see the light of their eyes. I want to thank them for coming. And most importantly, I want to witness to them and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to visit absentees. I talked about the snapshot. And when somebody misses my class 3 weeks in a row, I go by their home. Why? Because when somebody misses somewhere between 3 and 5 weeks, they move from, I wonder if anybody knows or cared, to where they haven't heard from you. They say, I know they don't care. And I don't want somebody to say that who's in my class. So we're going to go visit absentees. Then we're going to visit new prospects. But first we'll talk about the 4-Outreach program and the book and putting names in it and going to visit these people. Letter B, visit everyone. Sometimes we're visiting the absentees and we're visiting the visitors and we're visiting the prospects. And the person who never misses never gets ministered to. Boy, I've been convicted of that more than once. And my wife will make a homemade treat, and we'll go to some homes, and we'll just try to tell people we love them. And we always leave those visits saying the same thing. Why don't we do this more? So much of our time is this person who's hurting, and this person who's got this difficulty, and this marriage who's about ready to bust up, and this kid who's run away from home, and this issue. And I'm speaking to fellow teachers so I can be candid. All the problem people can just monopolize your time. And the people who come faithful and love God and do right sometimes just get overlooked. And I'm telling you, that's something that convicts me and something I have to work on. We got to visit everybody and minister to those faithful people. Letter C, visit by phone. You know, some things have changed in our culture today. Letter D, I think, is visit through the mail or email or whatever. Never underestimate the power of phone call. And, you know, my Saturdays have evolved. It used to be that you would go door knocking, and I do that some Saturday, sometimes during the week. You make visits, and I always try to set appointments, and then you make a lot of phone calls. You know what I do a lot now? Probably 2 hours every Saturday afternoon of my life. Text messages. I'm telling you. Now, I'm often amazed at the counsel people went through text, you know. And I'll send them a text like, I'm praying for you to see you tomorrow. And they give me this whole litany of stuff. And I'm thinking, how am I supposed to answer that, you know, on this text message, you know? And I always say, see me tomorrow. But anyway, boy, there is powerful little tools. Make sure you're making those connections. Number 10, we got to close. Depend on the Lord through prayer. The arm of flesh will fail us. We have to have the Lord. Letter A, class prayer. Make sure your class is a praying class. One thing you could put on your bulletin is some prayer request. Now, I'll just give you a little hint. I don't know that I would take the prayer request in public. Some classes do that, and it often becomes a very awkward moment. And that's another one of those paradigms where we don't think through from a first-time visitor. The first-time visitor comes to class, and these people are all talking about this weird stuff, and they're thinking, this is what I got to do if I come here? I don't think I want to come back here. That's a little too much. And sometimes that's on us as leaders. We didn't think through what that environment felt like to somebody who's never been. Because we've been it forever. It feels perfectly natural to us. These people are pouring out their heart. It sounds great. And that poor guy over there is going, I cannot wait to get out of here. This is the weirdest thing I've ever been in. So we have prayer requests sent through email. And it can be written on cards and so on. And we'll still put some on the bulletin that are appropriate. But anyway, that was for free. But class prayer. Lead a class that prays. Letter B, personal prayer. Personal prayer. Personally praying for your class by name, wanting the Lord to do a great work. How to structure a growing class.